Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. Sometimes a fair amount of time can go by sitting around in the examining room at the doctor's. It's not a big space, and usually the magazines left in there are about subjects like woodworking, golfing, writing haiku, or parenting small children, all of which are worthwhile activities, but not much interesting to me. Which leaves the pamphlets. Some have great illustrations, and some read as if they were written for early readers who like very repetitive literature. And most are advertisements for various procedures and medications. The ones we are going to read today, though, are happily well-written and informative guides, with very little overlap or obvious attempt to guide us under the knife or to the drugstore. From a podiatrist's office, these patient information pamphlets from the William L. Goldfarb Foundation cover diabetic foot care, heel pain, toenail problems, and bunions, as well as other foot-related topics if we have the time. So, put your feet up and let's get started with diabetic foot care. The disease known as diabetes mellitus affects many systems of the body and can develop in people of all ages. When diabetes affects the foot, the consequences can be severe. It is crucial for diabetics to give special attention to the care of their feet. A small problem in a healthy person could become a severe one in the diabetic. Diabetics can live longer and healthier lives if they take care of their feet. This brochure will help you understand diabetes and its relation to your feet. Diabetes is a disease caused when the body does not produce enough insulin, or in which the body's insulin is incapable of performing its function. Insulin, a substance that comes from the pancreas gland, helps us turn the food we eat into energy or store it for future use. As a diabetic, you should already be aware that this disease affects all organ systems of your body. Diabetes can result in poor immune function, loss of vision, decreased kidney function, and nerve dysfunction, resulting in decreased sensation and circulation changes. By far, the biggest concern with your feet is prevention of those complications that arise from changes in sensation and circulation. Inadequate blood supply / peripheral vascular disease. This refers to poor blood flow that occurs when blood vessels become too narrow. Vascular insufficiency is one of the most important factors contributing to infection of the lower extremities. Peripheral vascular disease warning signs. 1. Pain that interrupts your sleep or rest, typically relieved by dangling the feet over the bed or getting out of bed to walk. 2. Claudication or cramps in the calf or leg when walking can be a sign of decreased blood flow as well as painful ulcers. 3. Skin discolorations. Depending on the severity of the vascular disease, skin color changes range from a blue or purplish discoloration of the toes, redness of the foot, to whiteness or loss of color when elevated. 4. Cold feet or shifts in temperature can be a warning sign that circulation is diminishing. Lastly, 5. Changes can also occur in toenail appearance, becoming thick and brittle. Hair growth on the foot and leg may be diminished or absent due to poor circulation. These potential indications of decreased blood flow listed above are changes that your podiatrist will look for during your appointment. Inadequate nerve supply or neuropathy. This is a complication of diabetes that causes altered or loss in sensation of pain, temperature, and joint position. It may cause a patient to underestimate a foot problem because as the neuropathy progresses, there is a loss of protective sensation and injury may not be realized. This can then predispose the foot to ulceration, skin breakdown, and infection. Neuropathy can also be responsible for an absence of perspiration, leading to dry, cracked skin open to infection. Muscle weakness could develop, resulting in toe deformities and calluses on the ball of the foot that in turn can produce ulcerations. In other instances, diabetic neuropathy can lead to Charcot arthropathy. This condition can result in joint destruction, leading to a severely deformed foot. Foot ulcers. Diabetic patients are at increased risk of developing ulcerations because of the loss of blood supply and neuropathy. An ulcer is an opening of the skin with inflammation or infection. Any break in the skin could become an ulcer. If properly treated, there's a better chance of avoiding an ulcer. Ulcers can be the result of lack of sensation, lack of blood circulation to the foot, infection, lack of soft tissue protection, excessive callus tissue, pressure caused by deformities or bony prominences, improperly fitted shoes. Foot infections. Infection is a common complication affecting the diabetic foot. Because diabetes causes impaired immune response, a patient with diabetes has a compromised ability to fight infection. Treated early, an infection can usually be controlled. If neglected, severe consequences may follow, such as ulceration, bone infection, gangrene, and amputation. According to the American Diabetes Association, diabetes can most often be attributed as the source of non-traumatic lower extremity amputations. The National Diabetes Fact Sheet states that 60% of these types of amputations occur in people with diabetes. 2006 stats show about 65,700 of these amputations were performed on diabetics. Diabetes is at epidemic levels in America. Overall, in the United States, 8.3% of the population have diabetes. 18.8 million are diagnosed, and 7.0 million are undiagnosed. The World Health Organization, working with a team of researchers, found the number of adult diabetics has more than doubled from 1980 to 2008 to 347 million worldwide, as published in the Lancet Journal. Common foot problems mean higher risk. The following common foot problems require special care. Ingrown toenail, a nail grown abnormally into the flesh, causing more acute infections. Fungus toenail, dry, hard, and thick toenails that have gray, yellow, or brownish discoloration. They could become thick and separate from the nail bed because of fungal debris. Athlete's foot, red, dry, and cracked skin that may occur on the sides, bottom, and in between the toes. Corns, small circular hard skin located on top or at the end of a toe and associated with a deformity of the toe. Corns often develop as a result of pressure on deformed toes from poorly fitted shoes. Calluses, hard, thickened skin frequently on the ball or heel of the foot. Structural weakness. This problem causes changes in foot posture during standing or walking and may lead to abnormal foot contact inside shoes. Proper foot care instructions, regular podiatric visits. The results of a 2010 Thomson Reuters study sponsored by the American Podiatric Medical Association revealed that diabetics who had regular visits to a podiatrist lowered their risk for ulceration and limb loss. This study showed how crucial podiatrists are to the health and well-being of diabetics. These visits are essential and should be at a minimum twice per year. Remember, it's what you can't feel that can harm you because of neuropathy. Inspect your feet daily. Daily foot care is essential. This includes cleansing and carefully drying the feet, especially between the toes. Ask for assistance if you cannot see them well. Use a mirror or magnifying glass if necessary. Walking is the ideal exercise for diabetics unless there are complications. If you have a balance problem, use a cane. Protect your feet and legs by never walking barefoot. Avoid extremes in temperature in the environment and in the home. Avoid dry skin by using moisturizing creams or lotions, but do not apply between the toes. Apply foot powder daily between the toes. As a diabetic, it is recommended you don't cut your own toenails, especially if you have vision loss because of diabetes or other eyesight issues. Toenails should be cut with the contour of your toes so they are even with the skin at the end of your toes. Do not cut into the corners. Do not cut them short. Never use razor blades, knives, scissors, or medicated corn wart removers to remedy a foot deformity on your own. This can result in injury. Be aware and check for redness, blisters, cuts, scratches, cracks between toes, discoloration, swelling, discharge or drainage on socks, or any other changes. Practicing good foot hygiene means washing feet daily in lukewarm water with mild soap, drying feet gently, and taking special care between the toes. Avoid all actions that diminish circulation, such as tobacco use and crossed legs. Extremes in temperature should also be avoided. Never use a hot water soak and take extra care with exposure to the cold during the winter months. Avoid injury to the foot. Not only change your socks daily, but when they are frayed or torn, discard them. And here are shoe recommendations. Wear properly fitted shoes. Purchase shoes in the afternoon when feet are larger. Break in new shoes gradually, 2 hours the first day and an hour or more longer each subsequent day. For daily wear, buy soft leather shoes that conform to the shape of your foot. Ladies should avoid tight, high-heeled shoes, which restrict the toes and prevent proper blood circulation, placing too much pressure on the ball of the foot. Medicare recipients should discuss receiving diabetic shoes with their podiatrist. If you engage in several different activities, more than one pair of shoes with the proper cushioning and ventilation is recommended. To avoid muscle fatigue, a lightweight shoe is recommended. The team approach is essential. Podiatric care should be coordinated with medical management. Be sure to discuss all foot problems with your podiatrist. And that was diabetic foot care. We move on to heel pain. Heel spur syndrome, plantar fasciitis. The heel bone, or calcaneus, is the largest bone in the foot and projects backward beyond the leg bones to provide a useful lever for the muscles of the calf. It bears all of the body's weight with each step. The stress placed on the heel bone and its associated structures is tremendous and makes it susceptible to what is known as plantar fasciitis or heel spur syndrome. The pain that results from these disorders is caused by inflammation at the surface, at the interface of the plantar fascia and heel bone. The plantar fascia constitutes the long band of fibers attached at the bottom of the heel bone and extend to where the toes begin. It also helps create the arch of the foot. Plantar fasciitis and heel spur syndrome are usually the result of biomechanical faults. These biomechanical faults refer to abnormalities like flexible flat foot, high-arched foot deformities, and a tight Achilles tendon, placing a greater amount of stress on the plantar fascia. Other causes of stress on the heel and plantar fascia include recent weight gain, high-impact athletic activities, prolonged standing or walking, trauma, lower back problems, and arthritis. Pain could also be stemming from a microtraumatic fracture of the heel, causing a heel spur as a result of this injury. Your doctor will schedule any necessary lab tests, x-rays, and advanced imaging studies. A heel spur may or may not be present on an x-ray. Treatment, conservative treatments. Since not all heel spurs hurt, it's the inflammation of the plantar fascia that causes the pain, treatment may be directed at reducing stress on the plantar fascia and decreasing inflammation at the attachment of the plantar fascia. This usually involves rest, heel cups, night splints, stretching, ice massages, physical therapy modalities, strapping, orthotics, steroid injection therapy, and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications. Your podiatrist will create a treatment protocol for you that will incorporate some or all of these treatment alternatives. For the majority of cases, conservative non-surgical measures are sufficient to resolve this problem. surgical treatments. When conservative measures fail to give relief, surgical intervention becomes necessary and could include plantar fascia released in part from its origin, reduction or removal of large bone spur when present, endoscopic plantar fascial release, or EPF, in which the plantar fascia is released via the endoscope, extracorporeal shockwave therapy. Remember, your podiatrist will guide you to the manner of treatment that is best suited for your individual case. Preoperative considerations. Preoperative considerations are assessed by your doctor and include your age, occupation, physical activities or limitations, and general health status. Your doctor will explain the procedure to be performed and any potential risks and complications that may occur. Surgery can be performed in the office, outpatient surgical center, or as one-day hospital surgery. Postoperative care. After surgery, you will receive instructions from your podiatrist regarding the care of your dressings, your level of activity and weight bearing. As with all foot surgery, rest and elevation can help reduce pain and swelling. Your recovery is often based on the severity of your condition, healing abilities, and postoperative course. Postoperative care prescribed for the next 4 to 8 weeks, a general estimate, may include a gradual return to activity, soft shoes, orthotics to control the abnormal biomechanical forces and prevent recurrence of the symptoms. It is important that you follow your doctor's instructions carefully. Be sure to ask your podiatrist any questions before or after surgery. There may be additional methods of treatment for this common foot problem. Your podiatrist will discuss these with you. Complete cooperation between you and your doctor is essential for a satisfactory result. We move on to toenail problems. The following are some common toenail problems: ingrown toenail, incurvated nail, bone spur under the nail, thick nail, fungus nail, and toenail injury. Toenails may also undergo changes for other reasons, such as having a systemic disease like psoriasis. Ingrown toenail and incurvated nail. This is a condition where a portion of the nail presses into the flesh, causing pain, redness, and sometimes infection. If left untreated, proud flesh, exaggerated swelling of the skin along the nail border, can form. Treatments may include surgery, usually with local anesthesia or topical anesthesia, removal of a portion of the nail border for temporary relief, permanent correction by removing the offending portion of the nail and nail root if it's a recurring problem. X-rays may be taken to eliminate the possibility of a bone spur or bone infection when the condition appears to be chronic. Bone spurs under the nail. Sometimes deformed toenails are associated with a small bone spur at the tip of the toe under the nail. This can cause considerable discomfort at the nail or underneath. The skin between the nail and bone to become irritated and result in painful corns or calluses. Treatment may include removal of the bone spur as well as the nail. Thick toenails, hypertrophied and fungus toenails. This may stem from a nail fungus, nail injury, or an inherited condition. Current evidence-based medicine indicates treatment for fungus nails may be best with a combination of oral and topical antifungals, along with debridement of diseased toenails. Another method may include removal of the toenail and destruction of the nail root using laser surgery. Toenail injury. Normal treatment for a toenail injury is surgery, depending on the injury. Laser surgery. This involves the use of a special high-frequency laser. Fungus tissue and nail can be removed on a permanent basis when the nail root or growth center is destroyed with a laser. Chemical cauterization for permanent nail removal. This procedure involves the permanent removal of one or both sides of a toenail and the removal of fungus tissue if it is present. The root of the toenail is then treated with a chemical agent that destroys it. If the entire toenail is removed, the same procedure is employed for all tissue under the nail and the complete root. Your podiatrist will provide you with post-operative instructions for the local care of your toe and prescribe any pain medication needed. As with all surgical procedures, if there are any problems you're experiencing, consult your podiatrist with any questions or concerns. Diabetes and toenails. Diabetes is growing at an alarming rate, and when an individual develops diabetes or peripheral vascular disease, toenail problems more readily occur, such as thick, often brittle, and difficult to cut toenails. As the disease becomes more severe, self-care is a high risk. Therefore, it is not advisable for the diabetic or patient with PVD to trim their own toenails. There are additional methods of treatment for this common foot problem to consider. This includes oral and/or topical medication for toenail fungus, especially if surgical correction is not desired or not possible due to medical circumstances. Your doctor will discuss these with you. Remember, if you are diabetic and have difficult nails to cut, incurvated or thick, there is a proper way to cut your toenails. You should seek professional toenail care by a doctor of podiatric medicine. We move on to bunions, bunionettes. Why do bunions develop? A bunion is a swelling or enlargement of the big toe joint on the inner side of the foot. The joints have a tendency to move out of proper alignment given the weakness in the bones and ligaments that form the various joints and arches in your feet. General facts about bunions. Bunions develop gradually. Shoes do not usually cause bunions, but they can aggravate the condition and speed up the development of a more serious and significant deformity. There is a strong possibility that heredity is the underlying cause. And an aside here, I will tell you that has got to be true. Both my mother and father had horrendous bunions and happily passed them along to me. Okay, no more aside. Back to the pamphlet. Pain may develop from shoes rubbing against the enlarged bone. There may be swelling, redness, and a deep aching pain associated with the bunion joint causing a bursitis. Development of bunion deformities can even occur in young children, and much of the adult population is likely to develop bunions, but more commonly seen in women. As bunions become more severe, the joint moves out of proper alignment and eventually arthritis damages the joint space. The big toe will move sideways towards the second toe, and the foot tends to widen across the metatarsal area. How should I treat my bunion problem? As a rule, bunion deformities should be recognized early and evaluated by your podiatrist. The doctor can offer several suggestions for controlling the cause of the bunion deformity so that other symptoms do not occur or become more severe. Part of this evaluation will include X-ray studies to determine the underlying weakness in the bone structure of your foot. Other recommendations may be made, like exercises, alteration of shoe gear, or prescription orthotics to stabilize the weakness and improve the function of the foot. X-rays will also help to determine if there are other associated problems in the foot that require attention. As bunion deformities progress, they can become quite symptomatic and bothersome. Initially, treatment may include modification of shoe gear with a wider shoe to alleviate the pressure at the bunion joint. Additionally, anti-inflammatory medication and/or cortisone injections could become necessary during the acute phases of the bunion pain. Mild bunion deformities that require surgery usually are treated by removing a small portion of the enlarged bone at the head of the metatarsal. The surgeon may also lengthen the tendons around the joint to realign the big toe. If the tendon lengthening does not achieve better realignment, he or she may elect to also make a wedge in one of the toe bones. In more severe bunion deformities, your podiatrist may choose to perform several different procedures to realign the metatarsal. In some cases, pins, stainless steel screws, staples, wires, or artificial joint implants are used so that realignment of the joint is maintained while the bone is healing. If the bunion deformity progressively increases, surgery may be recommended. Your podiatrist will perform a thorough evaluation of your circulation, muscle strength, and alignment, among various other tests, to determine if you are a candidate for bunion surgery. Once surgery is the decided course, your podiatrist will discuss the surgical procedures best suited for your particular bunion deformity. There are many different types of bunion surgical procedures now available, many having been developed by podiatrists specializing in this type of surgery. The selected procedure is based on examination and X-ray findings, as well as other factors such as age and activities of the patient. These factors can influence the final outcome, so that both the doctor and patient need to work as a team for a successful and satisfactory result. All surgeries involve risks, and your doctor will discuss these with you prior to the surgery. However, even after the most thorough surgical procedures, complications can occur. The postoperative care of your foot is just as important as the surgical procedure itself. Then I'm looking at a number of pictures, and we go to Taylor's bunion deformity, also known as bunionette. A Taylor's bunion is a small bunion at the base of the little toe. This condition is also known as a bunionette. The name Taylor's bunion was derived from the way tailors used to sit with their legs crossed as they worked. Crossing their legs put pressure on the area known as the fifth metatarsal head, subsequently resulting in pain. There are several conditions which may cause the bump in this area. One, an overgrowth or swelling of the soft tissue covering this joint, bursitis. Two, a congenitally, at birth, wide head of the fifth metatarsal bone. Three, an actual bowing and or splaying of the fifth metatarsal bone. We do not have time. They list some of the remarkable advances that have been achieved, and they discuss instrumentation and technology to improve medical and surgical procedures. And they discuss certain bunion procedures may require you to wear a surgical shoe, a cast, or use crutches. A surgical shoe is needed if an osteotomy is performed. Pain medication, physical therapy, or X-rays may be chosen by your doctor as part of your recovery if one or all are necessary. And there we have it, almost everything you wanted to know about feet. Thank you for tuning in to Sound Body today. Stay well, and please come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.